To be like Jesus means that it's necessary to have biblical faith, because without faith, there is no way we can live the Christian life effectively. But have you ever wondered, how can I increase my faith? Have you ever thought, you know, I have faith, but it's so small, it's so weak, it's so frail. I'd really like to know how to increase my faith so that my Christian life is not one of frustrated defeat. I'd really like to know how my Christian life can be one of victory, one of fulfillment and meaning and purpose. Now, faith is the substance of our religious experience. The word substance is an interesting word. Sub means under, and stand means that which stands under. For example, you might get a word like submarine. Marine has to do with sea, sub is under, so a submarine is a boat that goes under the sea. Subterranean. Terranean is earth, and sub is under, so subterranean is something that's under the earth. Faith is what stands under everything else in our Christian experience. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter in the Bible that is dedicated to help us understand what faith is all about. And in Hebrews 11 verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So what is faith according to the Bible? Faith is what stands under everything else in our Christian experience. Faith is what stands under everything else in our Christian life. Faith is not some silly sentimentalism that says, "Oh God, I prayed that you'd send me a new Mercedes and I believe I'll get it." Faith is not saying, "Oh God, I believe I prayed that it wasn't going to rain because I want to go on the picnic, and so I know, God, it's not going to rain." Faith is not that at all. What is faith? We might define faith this way. Jesus invites us to enter into a relationship of trust with our Heavenly Father. And faith is trusting God. You see, faith is never faith in ourselves. Faith is never faith in our ability. Faith always has an anchor. Faith always has an object. In fact, you remember in the Gospels, Jesus speaking to his disciples, the Bible says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Now, what is this scripture actually talking about? Whoever says to this mountain, "Move, and it will move," it's going to move. What is all that about? The Bible indicates that faith is in God. So scripture says, "Have faith in God." The mountain that moves is the mountain of difficulty. It's the obstacle that stands in our way from having a true relationship with God. So what is faith? It's a relationship of trust with God that enables me to do whatever he asks, to go wherever he leads, believe whatever he says, knowing that he has my best good in mind. So how do you increase your faith? Your faith increases the more you get to know God. That's why the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible points out, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Why is it impossible to please God without faith? The reason it is impossible to please God without faith is because without faith, we lack trust and we don't have the relationship with God that enables us to do whatever he says, follow wherever he leads, go wherever he asks. That's why the Bible says here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder, the Bible says, of those that diligently seek him. That's what faith is all about. It's this trust in God that enables me to follow him, to live for him, to have confidence in him. But you say, Pastor Mark, now let's get real here. My faith is so small. In fact, I remember talking to one lady, and she said, you know, Pastor Mark, I am a Christian, but I just don't have any faith. My response to her was something like this. Now, ma'am, you're a Christian. Yes, I am. You believe in Jesus. Yes, I do. And you're telling me you have no faith? The two things just don't match up. You cannot be a Christian and have no faith. She said, Pastor Mark, what do you mean? I said, it's very simple. When you become a Christian, God gives you faith. In fact, the Bible says that God has given to every Christian a measure of faith. This is an exciting concept. Faith is not something that I work up. Faith is not some emotional feeling of ecstasy. Faith is a gift of God. So when you become a Christian, God gives you a measure of faith. Accepting Jesus, I receive faith in my heart. Now notice Romans chapter 12. We look there at Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. This makes all the difference in the world. It is not that you have no faith. If you are a Christian, God has given you a measure of faith. When we come to Jesus, faith is a gift that we receive from him. Then how can I increase my faith? Even a little faith links us with God's marvelous working power. Even a little faith links us with the Almighty. And the Bible says, if we just have a measure of faith, as the grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. What's the Lord talking about in that? If you and I take the faith within us that seems so small, the mustard seed was the smallest of all seeds. And if we begin to exercise that faith, believe in God that he will do what he has said. You see, any gift that God offers us, we can claim by faith, and our faith will grow. Now, reading the example of faith in the Bible increases our faith. If you want your faith to grow, watch Jesus as he touches the eyes of the blind and they're opened. Watch Jesus as he touches the ears of the deaf and they're unstopped. Watch Jesus as he heals the lame man and he runs, or he heals the withered arm and it has new life. If you want more faith in the Bible, read the story of Jesus. As we see Jesus forgive the woman caught in adultery, as we see Jesus change the thief dying on the cross from a young rebel rouser to a man of strong belief in eternal life. Or consider the Roman centurion, a hard-hearted, calloused Roman soldier. Yet at the foot of the cross, his heart was made soft and he was changed by the living Christ. Reading stories like these increases our faith. Or consider the demoniacs, possessed with demons, the scourge and terror of the territory of the Gadarenes. Yet they met Jesus, and their lives were totally changed. When we read about these miraculous stories in the Bible, it touches our lives, and our lives are changed too. Faith is not some silly sentimental thing. It is faith in God finding substance and meaning through Scripture. The Bible is the basis of our faith. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if you want to increase your faith, how do you do it? Bring your faith in contact with the living word of God. You see, to receive benefit from reading the Bible, though, the Bible must be personally applied by faith. Place yourself in every story. Believe God will accomplish miraculous changes in your life as you read His Word. Faith grows as we experience it. Now, let me illustrate that for you for just a moment or two. How do you place yourself in the story? Let's suppose that you're reading the story of Jesus in the Bible, who is going across the Sea of Galilee that night with the disciples. A storm blows the Galilean Sea and its waves into fury. The waves hit the side of the boat. The thunder is crashing, the lightning's flashing, the waves are filling the boat. The disciples sense that they've never been in a storm like this before. These great muscular men of the sea see no way out or around or through this storm. It's as if somebody threw a cosmic switch and turned off the moon. It's as somebody painted the heavens inky black and the skies went out. The disciples are filled with fear. They're filled with despair. They sense that they're going to go down. The boat's filling with water. And they look at Jesus sleeping on a pillow in the front of the boat and they say, "Lord, don't you care? We perish." Put yourself in the story. Have you ever been on a boat on a stormy night? Imagine you are there in the Galilee. Imagine you are there and the waves are filling that boat. Imagine that your boat's going up and down like a cork on the sea. Imagine the queasy feeling in your stomach. Imagine the wind blowing in your hair. Imagine the rain pelting your face. See the story. Put yourself in that story. And then watch Jesus as he stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And imagine the peace flooding over your heart. You see, it is one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to read it, putting yourself in the story and believing that the Christ that calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee will calm the storms in your life too. He'll calm the storms in your marriage. He'll calm your financial storms. He'll calm your worry, your fear, and your anxiety. Our faith is increased as we exercise the faith we have and reach out in trust to the Heavenly Father that made us and created us, the one that'll never let us down. Our faith is increased as we read His Word and apply the principles of His Word to our lives. Did you know you can read the Bible without any benefit, though? We find that in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Here in the book of Hebrews, the Bible does tell us that you can read Scripture and not have any benefit from the things that you're reading. You can read Scripture and have it not bless you at all. Here it is, Hebrews 4, verse 2, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them." And then it says, "The gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them." Did the word of God profit them? The Bible says it didn't profit them. Why didn't it? "Not being mixed with faith in those that heard it." So here are people that understood the word. Here are people that heard the word, but they got no benefit from it. I'd like to suggest to you that there are many people that read the Bible, but they don't get benefit from it. Why not? Because they do not mix with the measure of faith that God has already given them, the stories that they read in the Word. So expect your faith to grow through a study of the Word of God. And as you study the Word, apply the things that you read in the Word to your life. Say, Lord, I believe that that promise in the Bible that you've given me is for me. Believe that God's power will come to you through his word. Isn't that what the Apostle Peter says? The Apostle Peter tells us that as we read the word, our faith in that word will grow. As we read God's word, our faith in him will grow. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. What's been given to us? What's been given to us? Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The precious promises of God enable us to escape the corruption in the world. It is as we read the precious promises of God's word that our faith increases. Drawing near to Jesus, we receive his faith. Drawing near to Jesus, the faith of Jesus becomes our faith. Drawing near to Jesus, the trust that Jesus had in the Father becomes our trust in the Father. Drawing near to Jesus, the things of earth fade away. You remember that old hymn, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You say, "Pastor Mark, make it very plain. Sometimes I feel so weak." There's somebody watching this telecast today that you're struggling. You are wondering, how can I give up tobacco? How can I give up alcohol? Somebody watching this telecast today, you're saying, "I have addictive habits that are destroying me, and I want to know how to have the faith for those mountains of difficulty to move." There's somebody else watching this program today that you're thinking, "I've got mountains of difficulties in my marriage. How can they move? How can the cold-heartedness of a husband or wife be transformed, be warm again? Lord, what can I do to see my children that don't know you to know you? Lord, I don't have the faith to believe that their lives can be changed. And Lord, I struggle so much in my own life. I struggle with anger and bitterness and resentment. I struggle with criticism. Lord, how can this be changed? How can I be a new man or a new woman?" Let's review. When you and I come to Jesus, he places in our hearts that gift of faith. When we come to Jesus, Jesus says to us, "My child, I have a gift for you." That gift is ever so small. It's a gift of faith. As we exercise faith and say, "Jesus, I believe that you are the Almighty God that can solve insolvable problems," at first our faith may be very, very small. It's just like when you begin to lift weights. You don't begin to lift 200 pounds all at once. You begin with those small little weights, maybe 5 pounds and 10 pounds. But the more you lift, the stronger you become. So when problems come into your life, however small they are, say, "Jesus, I believe you've given me the gift of faith." And that is the gift of trusting you in this difficulty. And for every mountain that comes into our life, every problem that comes into our life, every difficulty that comes into our life, God's going to do one of two things. He is either going to take that difficulty away so the mountain moves, he's either going to solve the problem, or he's going to enable us to go over the mountain, around the mountain, under the mountain, or dig in the mountain and find gold. So faith says, "Lord, I trust you. I trust you either to take the problem away, or I trust you to solve the problem, or I trust you to give me strength to handle the problem, to cope with the problem." So he's going to either do one of those two things, take the problem away, solve it, or he's going to give us strength to handle it. He may not always miraculously heal us, but he will always give us strength to deal with that sickness. He may not always miraculously move the mountain, but he will always miraculously give us strength to go over the mountain. So he's either going to move it or he's going to take it away. When you have little problems in your life, exercise faith or trust that God can solve them. Place your mind into Scripture. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. And as you do, see what Jesus did. And sing in your heart that old song, what he's done for others, he can do for me too. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. Come to his word. Mix the promises of his word with faith. And watch him work miracles in your life as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you're the God who will increase our faith. We thank you that you're the God that will increase our faith as we exercise our faith, as we study your word, as we trust you. Oh God, help our faith to grow and give us abundant, fulfilled, joyful lives in Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Friend of mine, live the life of faith.